This is a segment from The Annex, an academic sociology-themed podcast. For more, visit us on the web at theannexpodcast.com.
So one of the benefits of having both Howard and Richard here is we have sort of a pretty nice micro panel to talk about Canadian sociology. Some of you might remember last year, Howard was part of a panel. I tried doing sort of like a little showcase on Canadian sociology. And Richard made a very good point on Twitter. He was like, you know, if you want a take on sociology, maybe you should talk to an American who's been there because there's a lot of Americans in the academy. And I thought this would be a great opportunity for us to talk about, you know, what the differences between how sociology or the sociology biz works in Canada versus the United States. Richard's been in both. Howard knows Canadian sociology thoroughly. I only know American sociology. Howard, have you ever worked in America? Or?
No, I haven't, but I have a sister who works at University of Michigan, so I hear through her experience.
Oh, good. Okay, so we got lots of fodder. So like, let's start off. Who wants to start off? Canada versus the United States, Canadian and American sociology. What's the difference working for a working person? Let's talk. Like, what's the difference between, the job in Canada and the job in America? Any thoughts on that one?
Well, I think maybe Richard's the person who's best in the position to answer that one.
Well, you know, this also gets tricky because, you know, it's also one department that I was part of. So what I'm going to say here, right at the outset is I'm going to limit my commentary as best that I can to my experiences of sort of the broader sociological field within Canada and experiences of that lest something get viewed as negative towards my former employer and great colleagues.
Fair.
I think, well, the first thing is to say, you know, versus gets already, I think, sort of a tricky. I totally understand where you're going with the language, but I could see also a double meaning behind that. But, you know, I do think, and where this is as context to bring up, I really enjoyed that panel. But what I have noticed is a very, when discussions emerge or panels around the field of Canadian sociology, sort of the state of the discipline within Canada, panels tend to be of people who have either trained in Canada and gotten their degree there, spent most of their career in Canada, and given the significant amount of U.S. expats who have moved up in terms of hiring and job market pools and sort of intellectual sort of composition, you know, really is at this point a not insignificant population to now be thinking about
So just to clarify, so I guess what are there a lot of U.S. trained Americans who are coming to Canada to work in Canadian departments, and there's like sort of a, you know, there's discussion about whether or not that's a good thing, and then there's sort of like how the native Canadians like engage with their immigrant colleagues.
In a nutshell, I think that's great. Yeah, absolutely. I think that characterizes it. But maybe there's another dimension to this as well, Howard.
Well, I think that it manifests itself that way, but it's also a bit of a reaction to a broader trend, which is in the 1970s, Canadian departments were largely hiring only Americans. And that created a Canadianization movement, which brought in policy that is supposed to be to the effect that you hire Canadians first. And across Canada, some departments weigh that more heavily than others. And so the U3, which are UBC, Toronto, and McGill, tend to ignore that policy more than other universities. And when departments get kind of tilted one way or the other, you end up with some really interesting tensions.
Interesting. Could you have any illustrative stories that won't make anybody mad to have recounted?
Well, I think that what ends up happening is, you know, when you think about placement, you end up with some very interesting situations. And you know, so if you're American trained and you're working in Canada and you do a very classic ASR sociology, running a lot of regressions, very narrowly pitched to kind of that audience, it doesn't necessarily fly well in the granting agencies, which might be adjudicated by people who are in smaller universities or who are more Canadian trained or Quebec trained. And then it ends up having this kind of incongruence of values of what's strong scholarship. And so I think that that becomes the focal point of where you get some debates. And then I think the other thing is when you're trained, and, you know, so I was trained at McGill, and people often joke that, people will say, McGill doesn't realize it's in Quebec. And, you know, the joke is, well, no, it doesn't realize it's even in Canada. So many of the people are from the U.S. and training an American type of sociology that as student, as a Canadian student, you often end up learning more about the U.S. than you do about Canada and get encouraged to participate in American conferences over Canadian conferences. And when it comes time to the job search, you don't necessarily have that network to the broad range of Canadian universities. And so this creates kind of the tension.
So how are, can I ask a sort of a clarification question? So how does an ASR style sociology differ from a Canadian sociology?
Well, so this is the thing that's kind of ironic about it, is a good chunk of Canadian sociology is that sociology. And anybody who says that it isn't is really lying to themselves. But when somebody says an ASR type sociology, they're talking about like a Habermas sandwich. So you have a little bit of theory at the front, you have a methods section, you run a bunch of regressions, and at the end of the thing, you end up saying, yes, I Habermas was right. And, you know, and that's a bit of an exaggeration. I don't think anybody, you know, runs regression models on Habermas, but it's basically this kind of template that gets oriented and very concerned about the modeling and that structure over the broader kind of implications that might affect the society or the nuances that are, you know, are part of public discourse in Canada per se.
So it's like a process focused way of doing sociology?
Well, I think that in Canada, there's, you know, another end of the continuum that's influenced by European sociology, which tends to be very theoretical and very critical and not necessarily very empirical or for that matter, technically sophisticated in the methodology used, either quantitative or qualitative. And then you have Quebec sociology, which is influenced by French sociology or a microcosm of Quebec, where, you know, it's a small group of people who are talking to each other as well. So there's no single Canadian sociology, and I'm sure there's no single American sociology, but I think that that kind of plurality of sociologies in Canada is what creates some of the tensions.
Richard, what's your take on Howard's take, like the differences between maybe ASR sociology and Canadian quote unquote sociology?
Well, you know, I think a lot of it also gets bundled up with stereotypes too. I mean, when you think about American sociology, people immediately sort of gravitate to thinking about ASR, AJS, social forces kind of sociology and the topics that might get into that. But I mean, the reality is, I mean, it's a really big tent, and there's a lot of that's where the vast majority are not publishing their work. So it gets tricky of sort of disentangling attitudes and preconceptions versus sort of the realities of what people are doing. But where I'll add to that is, and what, I guess where it was a surprise to me in learning it, as I moved up to Canada was the fact that I, as a medical sociologist, the Canadian medical sociologists were usually showing up at ASA as part of the medical sociology section. So mm-hmm. I really kind of grew up, I guess you could say, as a graduate student and then as a postdoc and then as a junior faculty member in an environment where really an ASA section was a very sort of North American section in the sense that Toronto had a number of people, for instance, who were very very active in the section. Western University of Western Ontario would be another sort of prominent example of that. And so to then take on a new faculty position and then sort of learn sort of the new fault lines and the some things that blend and other things that were a little bit more in tension. And, you know, as Howard nicely pointed out, sort of different sociologies that really do exist within Canada was a very interesting learning experience. The other thing I did want to add onto Howard's comment too, is to even add to the more of the complexity is there's the critical sort of side versus a more sort of, you could say maybe traditionally sort of empirically driven sort of sociology. But within that too is also the influence of the humanities and a lot more of a blending of boundaries of different fields or disciplines where interdisciplinarity and interdisciplinary sort of areas, I would say, the distinctions between where sociology would say end and some of those areas might start, or people would sort of define the boundaries, it seems to be very different and much more fluid than what I've experienced within the United States. So sort of where a notable one in my department would be where gender studies would might end and where sociology might pick up in terms of sociology of gender. Or I'm thinking here in this case, one prominent thing that stands out for me as an example was one year I was doing graduate admissions and looking through files, and a letter writer was arguing for someone who came from some sort of studies department. That's this way, I'll keep it sort of purely confidential as best I can. Some ex-studies interdisciplinary kind of program, and said, look, this person is applying to your program. They don't have much of a, they don't have a formal sociology degree, but in our program, they've read Foucault, and they go down this list of sort of European thinkers depending on where you are in sociology, you might kind of consider as part of your, in your tent or not, or you might think of them as philosophy. And so therefore, this person, would fit great with sociology, you kind of sit there and you're okay. So to me, regardless of where you might sit on in your evaluation of that letter, I think in a way empirically kind of says a lot to me. It's a nice representative sort of statement about sometimes where people felt how, sociocultural anthropology, sociology, we're close enough, it's sort of thing. Whereas in the United States, that the boundaries would be a lot more sort of defined and delimited.
Howard, any reaction on that?
Well, I would agree. And I think that that's where I think that there's this kind of difference of having more openness to a kind of European mindset of what the discipline might be. I would definitely agree that there's more drawing on a wider range of theory and perspectives that end up focusing a lot on the conceptual without a lot of empirical evidence. And I think that there's probably more space to do that in the mainstream of Canadian sociology there than there is in the mainstream of American sociology, and a wider range of what sources are drawn upon.
Richard, just before we close off this section, says somebody who has made the switch and wants to offer sort of a view that might benefit our American colleagues working up in Canada. Do you have any advice for those still in Canada, who run departments? Is there a positive way to engage Americans who are up there, who've immigrated up there?
The things that I see on Twitter about sort of people learning the Canadianisms and the Canadian ropes of things. My thought is with that, again, it's sort of hard to disentangle sometimes the sociology professor moving up to Canada versus just the Canadian expat just sort of assimilating into a new society. And so I guess my advice is, obviously there's some you moved up there for, I would assume, for some sort of personal and lifestyle sort of reasons too, and not just for work. And so that general sort of character that selected you into that is are the things that over time you're going to be learning, and you're going to be picking up your general interest in assimilating itself you'll pick up the ropes on things that you might miss or the little using the Queen's English or the throwing in those U's or separating terms like college and university or the use of the Z's and versus the Z's.
We're getting a double at Tim Hortons.
Tim Hortons, right, exactly. I miss Tim Hortons very much.
I hear it's on the final immigration test.
For more, visit us on the web, theannexpodcast.com.